Take your Bibles, Ephesians chapter number 6 this morning. Ephesians in chapter number 6. And while you're turning there, two things inside of your class bulletin. There's a lesson handout that goes along with today's thought from the Word of God. I want to encourage you to grab that. That will help especially as we conclude looking back to last week and reviewing and then picking up this week and concluding the lesson. So grab the handout if you will. If you've got a Bible, Ephesians chapter number 6 is where we're going to go. While you're turning there and grabbing the handout, let me welcome some that are here for the very first time today back here with Jonathan and Madison. This is Matt and Estella. Matt and Estella, thank you for coming and being our guest today. It's a delight to have you here for the first time. And then back here also, Jesse and Sarah. And Jesse and Sarah, thank you for coming and being with us today. And what a blessing it is to have folks here for the first time. I want to encourage you, shake their hand, get to know them. And to Jesse and Sarah and Matt and Estella, welcome. We're glad you're here, and we certainly appreciate the effort you took to be with us today. And we do want to be in prayer one for another, as today we have some folks out of town. And then, as I mentioned, several in Starting Point, several serving, but we're thankful we're here and get a chance to serve the Lord together. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And last week we began a lesson entitled, "Authority is God's Plan." And really looking at the idea of the authority structure that God has implemented in everything He has created, and the fact that it is done on purpose. And the purpose, the mission of it, is a benefit. It's a benefit to all who are involved in it. And so we began looking at that last Sunday, authority being God's plan. And I want us quickly to just kind of review what we talked about last Sunday, so that if you weren't here, or maybe if you were here, but it's been a week ago, to get us kind of all on the same page and then jump into new material together today. We looked at last Sunday this authority and kind of laid the groundwork with looking at hierarchy and creation, and the very fact that God implemented authority and everything He created. And we looked together about God's relationship with humankind. God did not debate or spend a long time explaining the fact that He was an authority over us. It just kind of stated that was God's plan. Even angels being in relationship with humankind and their authority as well. But then we looked at humankind's relationship to the earthly creation. The idea that there is an authority that we have over the other creatures that God has created. We have dominion over them, He states in the book of Genesis. And so there is an obvious order of authority in God's creation that He lays out for us that we looked at last week by way of introduction. Then we looked at, secondly, hierarchy and people's relationship to one another. There is authority in these relationships as well as by God's design. And we learned that we have one of two responses to this authority, either servitude or rebellion. We either are going to embrace the fact that God has authority for us and then flourish under that structure, or we're going to rebel against it. And that's the decision all of us will make in our hearts. And we looked at authority in the workplace. God has ordained authority there, and we want to be, if we are in authority at work, we want to be kind to those in whom we lead and manage. If we are under authority, we want to recognize that and be kind to those in whom we serve with and serve for. Then we talked about authority in the church. God's given the pastor authority in the church. We want to support his vision and his agenda as he gets it from the Lord. We talked about authority in the state that God instituted, the home, the church, and the government. There's authority in the state and the government that God instituted. It's His plan. We may not like every facet of it, but we want to be in support of it and certainly be praying for those in authority. And then we really focused on authority in the home. God designed authority in the home. God designed parents to be an authority over children. And we talked about the reason we laid all that groundwork was so that we were clear that this model of authority is God ordained. It is His plan. It is His purpose. Because in our flesh, we don't like authority. We don't want to be under authority. And so if we don't want to be under authority, sometimes we struggle with providing authority for our children. But we laid the groundwork so that we were clear with our takeaway. No, authority is God's plan. Authority is God's idea. Authority is God's mandate. And we are to be under authority, and then we are to provide that authority in our home, and our children are blessed when they submit to it. We studied, thirdly, the rich rewards for obedience that God promises in Ephesians 6. And he challenges our children to obey and honor. We studied that, what that meant, and what that involved. And then from it, it would be well with them, and they would live long upon the earth. Those are the biblical promises of blessings that are given to children who obey and who honor. Now, children who obey and who honor are children who are expected to obey and honor. And children who are expected to obey and honor are children who have authority in their lives. So God's painting a picture for us to understand, to grasp and embrace and apply in our own home. Indeed, authority is God's plan. Brand new material. All right, number four. Why this is so important. Why this concept of authority in the home is so important for you, for me, for our homes, and for our children. Our teaching of God's authority in our home reminds our children that they are God's creation and that the greatest joy they're ever going to find, the greatest happiness they're ever going to find in life is following God's way for their life, is living according to God's plan and according to God's will. A lot of Christians today believe that the greatest delights are found in the world, but that because we're Christians, we don't get to partake of them. We have to deny them. We have to not act like we want to have them in our life. We have to, you know, kind of, woe is me. Here's all the things I cannot do because I am a Christian. And that's sometimes the way we view it, and that's certainly the way the world wants us to think of it. But God says, listen, that's not it at all. When you are living according to my plan, there you will find the greatest blessings and the greatest joys for your life. But the world constantly challenges that thought about, yes, but you don't have any freedom. You don't have any liberty. You're living the life that God designed for you. How can there be joy and happiness in that? It's like looking at a 60-ton locomotive and saying, you know, here is this beautiful piece of machinery with intelligent design and amazing power and ability, and yet it is so confined and restricted and bridled with these tracks. I mean, what if the train doesn't want to go where the tracks go? I mean, what if the train wants to take an afternoon and just go through the meadow and up into the mountains? Shouldn't the train be able to do whatever the train wants to be able to do? Wouldn't life be better for the locomotive if he could just go wherever he wants to go? And so let's say that we then, you know, loosen him from his bounds to the tracks, thereby giving him the freedom and the liberty that we feel would better suit this amazing piece of machinery, and letting him go and enjoy the meadow and the mountains. Now, what's going to happen to that locomotive? He's going to get off those tracks, he's going to get out in the middle of that meadow, and he's going to sink in that soft ground. He's not going to go anywhere. Why? Because the tracks are designed specifically for that locomotive to get to where it needs to go. And God's will, God's plan, and God's authority is designed to help you and I get to where we need to go. And Satan and the world are always going to offer a meadow. Satan and the world are always going to offer the mountains. They're always going to offer something that's off track, if you will, from God's plan, and it's going to look great, and it's going to look wonderful, and it's going to look full of freedom and liberty, and look at all these people, and they're not confined by any regulations of any kind, and everything is wonderful. Listen, every decision made bears consequences. We studied 3 weeks ago the law of sowing and reaping, and it applies universally. When you sow, you will reap. It's the way it works. And this idea that, oh, you can make any decision, you can do anything, and it's just nothing but freedom. Listen to me. I have the privilege of ministering to a lot of people, and I've met a lot of people who for a season had a lot of freedom. But you know what they have now? A lot of heartache. Why? Because all of those days of free living and, boy, everything is great and I can do whatever I want is coming back to haunt them. Because all the consequences of those decisions are catching up with them. And now they're having to deal with the realities of life, the very fact that they're kind of stuck in the soil of the meadow and they don't know where to go. And so we need to understand, listen, this authority, these tracks are for our good. And we need to instill that in the lives and hearts of our children. It is important for them to understand God has authority in their life. It's God ordained. You are that authority. If you're a parent in this room this morning, you are that authority. That's God's design for your relationship with your children. Fifthly, we see in this relationship of parents and children authority, the danger of being a fool. The danger of being a fool. Now, the alternative to teaching your children biblical authority is to allow them to be autonomous and self-directed people in their life. But the Bible has a description of this. The Bible says in Psalms 14, in verse number 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. So the Bible says, listen, there is some that live with the idea that there is no God, there is no authority, there is no consequence, there is no person I'm going to have to answer to. And the Bible says that person is a fool. They have said in their heart, there is no God. It's not freedom to live a life that's just carefree and I can do whatever I want. There's no consequences. There's no authority. It's not freedom. It's foolishness. God teaches this is not reality. It's impossible to live in the world that God created it with the belief that there is no God and expect it to go well. Now, the Bible promises, listen, sin's going to have pleasure for a season. I'm not saying there's no good days. I'm not saying there's no time period where it looks like, wow, it looks like they've got it all going well. I'm just saying the end of a thing. You've got to consider that. And so in our homes, we want God's blessing. We want to do it according to His design. And God's design is authority for father and mother to be an authority of their home. And it's preventing our children from falling into the trap of foolishness where there is no authority and there is no God in their life. So this is an important truth. We have to teach our children are under authority. We don't want them to live a foolish life. Number six, we see that our lives must reflect the truths that we teach. If we're going to properly articulate and teach the authority as God's plan, then our lives need to reflect this. Our lives need to model it for our children. This is in lots of things. This is in our entertainment choices. If our entertainment choices are always kind of enamored with people that defy rules and defy authority and, you know, do whatever it takes, and man, it worked out good for that action hero, and that's what our kids want to grow up and be. Listen, at some point in time, we need to explain to Junior that that isn't even reality. If everything we're putting in front of our children is countercultural from what the Word of God teaches, and then we're wondering why inside they're conflicted with whether or not to do right or to kind of go do whatever they want to do, you got to be careful. It's amazing the agenda that Hollywood has, even in some of the most innocent-looking of films, sometimes the relational structure, sometimes the music selection, sometimes the plot and the story. If you just stop and you look at it and you say, man, they're kind of driving home a point that I don't agree with or that we certainly don't hold to in our home. You just want to be careful what it is that is coming into your home and the philosophy that your children are exposed to and making sure that you're teaching them right from the Word of God. These truths, the truth of authority being God's plan, must be reflected in our lives. Now, if we want our children to be respectful of authority, then we have to be as well. That might be being respectful of our employer. That might be being respectful to the law, peace officers, and so forth. That might be being respectful to our pastor. It's going to be difficult for our children to love and honor their pastor if we're grilling him Sunday at lunchtime. So there needs to be a decision in our minds that says, listen, we know no human being is perfect. We're not making big of the person. We're making big of the position of leadership and authority that God has given. But in our home, our children are not going to hear us be critical of our employer or critical of our pastor or critical of, you know, the sheriff or the police officer, whatever. We want our children to hear us supporting authority. One of the things that comes to my mind that is so prevalent with many of us that are parenting and so on is their school teachers and the school principal. And if we're not careful, we can develop this idea that if you have a problem at school, you come tell mom and dad, and mom and dad are going to go solve it for you. And we go on a mission for Junior to settle all the, all the things in his life that haven't been right or fair. Now, I'm not saying there may not be a cause for a discussion with their teacher. I'm just saying your child needs to learn authority. And so if Mariah is having a hard time with her teacher and she voices that to Mom and I might say something like, well, sweetheart, here's what you need to do. And then we might go talk to that teacher without Mariah ever knowing about it. And I don't know what the outcome of that conversation would be. But we're not going to cultivate in our home this philosophy of come to us and we will bail you out of the situations in life you don't agree with or those in whom you're in authority with. Why? Fast forward 10 or 15 years. I don't want my 20-something-year-old coming to me and saying, my boss wasn't fair today. Will you call them? My instructor at college today wasn't fair. Would you connect with them? And by the way, a lot of parents do. A lot of, they call it the helicopter generation, where they're going with their children to college professors' offices and advocating on their behalf. They're going with their adult children to job interviews and advocating on their behalf. It's a ridiculous thing. Why? Because they've kind of grown up this whole time with, you bring me your problems and I'm going to go advocate for you. Listen, God has given us authority. The home I grew up in, it was my parents' side with authority. I knew that before anything ever happened. And my dad just said, listen, I'm going to side with authority. I'm not saying authority is always right, but I'm going to side with authority. You know what he was teaching me? Authority is authority. The basketball coach may not have been right to me. Doesn't matter. Still the coach. The teacher may not have seen everything that happened. I might have got in trouble when I did deserve it, but they're still the teacher. And it was teaching me in life that, you know what? It may be a sheriff, it may be a police officer, it may be an employer, it may be this, it may be that, that doesn't see the whole thing and I get the bum end of the deal, but they're still in authority in my life. And by the way, now that I'm in authority in my own home and in other venues and spheres, there's going to be times where I'm not right. And I hope those in whom I lead will be gracious with me, someone in authority, when I'm not right as well. You reap what you sow. So we want to make sure that this is in our life, that we're teaching this, but that it is in us. And by the way, we can share with our kids that we're struggling, maybe with authority in some area, but we want to model for them God's grace to help us to be under authority. All right? Then number 7, how can we help drive this truth home of God's authority? Helping children evaluate themselves. Helping children evaluate themselves. Proverbs chapter 9, let's study this very quickly in your notes. Verse number 7 says, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Now, this is a great passage to use in teaching your children to evaluate themselves when it comes to being under authority, okay? Many of us have children that they could read this, they could learn from this in our time of instruction, and they could begin to evaluate themselves. How am I doing under authority in my life? Now, in this passage, we see 4 descriptive words of the type that the parents are giving to the children, all right? We see that they're giving them reproof, rebuke, instruction, and teaching. Okay, so this is what's coming from the authority. There's reproof coming, there's rebuke coming, there's instruction coming, there's teaching coming. God says this is kind of what happens. This is what authority gives, all right? And then you have the response. And God differentiates the response from the scorner and the wise man. Basically, the scorner doesn't want anything to do with it. I don't need to hear this. I don't have to take this from you. Who are you in my life? That's the attitude of the scorner. The wise man, the Bible teaches, receives it, accepts it, is grateful for it. Okay, tell me, teach me. How can I do this thing better? And we want our children to be able to look at their life and say, am I being a wise person or am I being a scorner? Am I receiving reproof and rebuke from people in authority of my life? That's a great question for every parent to ask. Can my children handle reproof? Can my children handle rebuke? But what are you talking about? Can my children handle somebody telling them, young man, young lady, you're wrong. Don't do that. Can they handle that? I hope so. None of us are going to rear kids that never do anything wrong. That would be nice, but I don't think we're going to make it. So if they're all going to do something wrong in their life, and if they're like us, they are, then praise God we've got people in their life that are willing to tell them, hey, straight up. But we want to train the kind of kids that say, yes, sir. Well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I told you I talk in class. That's enough. Yes, ma'am, I'm sorry. Not, who are they to tell me I can't talk in class? I've got the freedom and liberty to talk in class. They're not my mom or dad. In fact, I'm going to tell my mom and dad when I get home about what you just said to me. And wait till they come talk to you. Now, you think I'm kidding. That's exactly the attitude of some kids. And you want to know why? They have no idea about authority. In their mind, at the tender age of 6, 7, 8, whatever it is, they are the authority. And if they don't like the way something's going, if they don't want to do something, move heaven and hell, they're not going to do it. Why? They don't know what authority is. And God says there's to be authority. And you've got to teach authority. And you've got to model authority. And you've got to help them to see, listen, authority is going to give you reproof. Authority is going to give you rebuke. Authority is going to give you instruction. Authority is going to teach you. And the way you respond, remember what we talked about last week, rebellion or servitude, wise or scorner, it's up to you. But wise people receive that from authority. Boy, thank you for that. The coach who gets after the player is typically getting after the player he plans to play. And the player who understands the dynamic of that is thankful, coach, thanks for riding me. Thanks for getting after me. Thanks for kicking me in the backside. Why? Because I know you're trying to make me a better player so that I can play. And that's the lesson of life. When somebody in authority is helping someone, they're getting them back on track so they reach their potential for the Lord. Now, that goes back to us as parents. Be careful of the authorities you put in your children's life. If you're putting an authority in your children's life and whom you disagree with philosophically, then you've got a nightmare on your hands. Because you're trying to teach them biblical authority, and then you're trying to kind of have a caveat of, well, this one doesn't apply for this reason or that reason. So as mom and dad, God gives you an amazing amount of responsibility. Teach authority. Get the right authority in the lives of your children. Support that authority and teach them how to respond with wisdom. Respond as a scorner or respond as a wise man. And then lastly, number 8, growing into the ability to make decisions. Growing into the ability to make decisions. Some people object this kind of teaching and say, listen, we cannot have this kind of structure in our home where we are helping them with direction and authority and the tracks and all that kind of stuff, like you're explaining, Brother Gabe, because they're never going to be able to make a decision. They're not going to know how to make a decision. They're not going to understand how all of this works in their life. And I want to encourage you that you can be the kind of person who is providing authority and still training your children how to make decisions on their own. The best training for making decisions is to model for your children good decision making. And so if they're watching you make good decisions, it's good training for them to make the right decisions in their life as well. And as they get older, share with them how you're making decisions. Teach them from the Bible. Here's the decisions we're making, and here is why. All right? Couple principles on helping your children learn the art and ability of making decisions. Letter A, boundaries versus wisdom. Boundaries versus wisdom. We have to teach our children to identify the difference between a boundary issue and a wisdom issue. Okay? What are we talking about? Well, there are commands in the Word of God that are a definite boundary. Okay? And then there are principles in the Word of God that just give us wisdom to make decisions that could be addressed to anything. Not every specific issue is addressed in the Bible specifically. Many of them are. But the ones that are not, God gives us principles by which to live so that we can make wise and biblical decisions. All right? Like what? Let's say we're in a jewelry store and we're looking at a nice wrist watch. And it's of good quality, and it's a decent price and so forth. And the clerk who's helping us and answering questions and so forth, all of a sudden gets tied up, maybe a phone call or helping another guest. And we're at a moment, it's sitting out there on the counter, and we're observing it. And at that moment, we could steal it and walk out and get away with it. Should we or should we do that? Should we or should we not do that? Boundary issue. God says, thou shalt not steal. So never, under any circumstances, would it be okay just to steal that wristwatch. Okay, so that's an easy one. But here's the other question. Should we buy it? Is it the right watch to buy? Is it the right amount of money to spend? Is this the right time to do something like that? Well, the Bible doesn't have a verse for thou shalt or thou shalt not buy that particular watch. But it does give you principles. It does talk about having wisdom when it comes to your finances and kind of governing those things. And so in life, there are going to be some boundary issues. It's a plain do not or do that kind of a deal. We shall not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. Are we going to go to church today? That should never be a question asked in a Christian home. Of course we're going to go to church today. It's God's day. Of course we're going to go to church. That's where our family goes when the church doors are open. We're not going to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. That's what we do. So there are some boundary issues, but then there are some wisdom issues. What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about that? It may not be mentioned specifically in the Word of God, but God gives us principles to make those decisions. And so we want to teach our children, these are the boundaries that God has set. These are the tracks. We're going to abide by them as for me and my house. And then here's the wisdom that we're going to gain from the Word of God to make the other decisions and issues in our life. Then, letter B, we want to teach them that decision makers with advisors, to be decision makers with advisors. We want to train them how to make decisions, but we want them to learn that they will make better decisions under authority, under the authority that God has placed in their life. The Bible says in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. The Bible says in a multitude of counselors, a direction is established. And we want to encourage our children, ask questions. What does dad think? What does mom think? What does pastor think? What does this person think? Get counsel. Learn from others who are making wise decisions to formulate that in your own life. And then lastly, that Christ is our supreme example of submission. If anyone wanted to, and justly could have, come to earth and just said, I'm going to do what I want, when I want, I'm my own authority, and away I go, it would be the Son of God, Jesus Christ, for sure. But the Bible says of him in Philippians 2:8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, all God and all man, willingly humbled himself and submitted himself to his heavenly Father. He did his Father's will. He taught his Father's word. He served at his Father's objective. In the garden, he even said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus Christ modeled for us, this is what submission to authority looks like. This is how submission to authority functions. And God says to you and I in his word, as authority, adults, parents, spouses, and homes, understand authority. Submit to the authority in your own life. Pastor, employer, anyone in authority in your own life, submit to that. And then be sure to model that submission to your children and teach it. Help them to see the big picture. This is not about you do what I say because I'm in charge of you. This is God's plan for authority and order. God has called me and your mother to be an authority over you because God is an authority over all of us. And because you're going to have authorities over you for the rest of your life. And if you learn to submit to those authorities and to be respectful and to respond correctly, it's a wonderful life. But if you fight against authorities for the rest of your life, it's miserable. And it often doesn't end well. So Lord, help us to understand your plan for authority, to live it, to model it, and to teach it to our children as well. And may their lives flourish because they understand this is what authority is. It's not this great limitation to life that's just going to make it miserable. No, true joy and happiness is found in submitting to authority. You take the train on the tracks. It may look like, boy, if you just unfettered him from his necessity of those tracks, boy, life would be great. But we know in a matter of moments, it would be miserable. But because he stays on the tracks, that locomotive can go anywhere. If our children will continue to submit to authority and be right before the Lord in that area, they can go anywhere. They can fulfill God's will. But if they're constantly looking to rebel and be a scorner and go away from, I'm telling you, life is not going to be anything like God intended for them to enjoy it. So may you and I understand it, may we model it, and may we teach it. And may our homes benefit because of God's plan of authority existing there. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. We're thankful for some time together in your word this morning. Thank you for our class and their faithfulness. What a delight to be with them. Thank you for those from our class today at Starting Point and learning more about Lancaster Baptist, those in service and even some out of town. We pray that you bless them as we miss them and pray for them. Lord, help us to take this truth and apply it to our hearts and our lives and understand authority is your plan. And may we understand it, may we model it, and may we teach it to our children that they may benefit from it as well. Give us a wonderful week with your blessing, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.